Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. In today's podcast, we're continuing to talk about the public reading of Scripture. This is the 10th podcast in our current series. Our key sentence for this series, Scripture can come alive for people as time and effort are put into the way it is read publicly. As a significant resource for this series, we've been listening to very relevant Chapel of the Air radio broadcasts from more than 30 years ago. In the last podcast, David and Karen Maine shared with us how to carefully craft public Scripture readings for special seasons of the year. Today, we want to take a big risk. Why? Because we're going to explore the subject of spontaneity in the public reading of Scripture.
It's a risk in a lot of people's minds, isn't it?
It's a risk in mine. Right now, I'm pretty skeptical.
And that's because we lose control, in a sense. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe we're giving over control of the Holy Spirit in a setting of His people to do something quite special. I won't divulge what the broadcast is about. Let's listen to it, all right, Dean?
Okay, let's do so. And the key sentence for today, purposely offering opportunities for spontaneity in the public reading of Scripture can often reveal how the God of the great surprise is at work in the lives of His people. Let's listen, shall we?
Many of our Chapel of the Air listeners aren't aware that our director, David Maines, spent 10 years pastoring a church he founded in the inner city of Chicago. The ministry of that church was so unusual and significant that it attracted national attention. Considered to be one of the major church strategists of his generation, David Maines was widely quoted in religious periodicals, interviewed by Time magazine, and wrote a book on the nature and philosophy of the church entitled Full Circle, which is required reading in many seminaries across the country. During the 60s and 70s, David Maines was considered a pioneer in the area of establishing new forms of worship for the evangelical church. And it's out of this background of practical creativity that he and his wife Karen are presenting our current series on making the public reading of Scripture more interesting. It's entitled, Down with the Dulls. And they'd like to present part 10 in that series right now.
Today, Karen, we're going to talk about spontaneity. Let's just get a feel of what that word means.
Well, spontaneity is when the invitation goes out to the congregation that is sitting there that Sunday morning in a worship service, and we say to them, now you, at this moment, contribute the Scripture that is meaningful to you in this worship service. And it's not particularly pre-planned. It's not scripted. We're not even sure quite where it's going to go.
But there is the flavor of this even in Scripture once again, which we've been careful to point out. I think of a passage like Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So that's kind of what we're saying, address one another in Scriptures that have meaning to you. Let me give illustration. We can't have a spontaneous demonstration here, but we can tell you what we have in mind. For example, after a sermon I preached once, I said, in a little while we're going to have a benediction. Rather than me giving it to you, I'm going to ask from all over the congregation that you people read or quote verses that affirm the truth of what I have shared this morning. Now, I wasn't sure if anyone would say anything or not, but it went on, I would say, for a good 2 to 3 minutes. Beautiful response from people and verses I never would have thought of that came from their experience, their walk with the Lord. It was very thrilling.
And I think the great value of that is instead of having a passive audience listening to a benediction such as they have listened to, even when they're well chosen, Sunday after Sunday, most of their lives, all of a sudden you have passed to them the responsibility of the blessing on the congregation, and they begin to do it. Now that's a rare experience for the average layperson, and I think a choice one, and they generally will rise to that occasion, I believe.
I remember times, Karen, I used spontaneity as it relates to Scripture by saying to people, I am believing that the Lord has prepared some of you here in the congregation in a special way this week to share from Scripture with all of us. So you'll see where it's marked scripture reading and there's not a reference given. That's because I'm going to wait and have you in the body tell us what it is that God has prepared.
That is a rather risky venture. What happened?
Well, only once that I recall did no one respond at all. And after that service, I remember someone coming up to me and saying, the Lord had prepared me, but I was so frightened by what went on. I just couldn't do it. And if you'll just be patient and then ask again sometime, I think I'll be able to. But usually it's amazing how the Lord does specifically prepare someone, and then that becomes kind of the highlight of the whole morning as the Lord puts the service together. I think when you ask, though, what if it doesn't go the way you expect, that's part of what the whole process is. You take a risk and you say, well, let's just see if God is doing something in the body or not.
But think of the beauty of people who rise to that occasion, to whose heart the Lord has given a very special lesson. I know so many times I have gone to the scripture with great need, and those verses have surprised me sort of by leaping off the pages. How wonderful to be able to share that experience briefly on a Sunday morning with the people of the body that I love. So I want to commend you for taking the risk.
Well, it becomes a testimony to the whole of the body that God is alive among his people. Mm-hmm. And I think for non-Christians who are there, such exercises say to that person, God's word is very, very important to these people. Let me give another illustration. Oftentimes I've been in churches as I've been a visiting preacher, and they will say to the people, now let us take maybe a minute or two just to greet one another. And then there's kind of a mass pandemonium.
Commotion.
Commotion is a good word, where they go to one another and greet each other. I think it's possible during a time like that to say, this week, instead of just greeting, we want you to think ahead of time of a verse that you would like to share with someone. You can either say it by memory, or you can read it from the Bible to that person. But we'll share all kinds of scriptures with one another in this time of greeting.
So this is the time, instead of greeting one another with a holy kiss, we're greeting one another with the Holy Scripture, right?
Yeah, now that was humor, so I don't want people to think that was a suggestion that you're making, all right, or that we did that in the services. Okay, let's talk about pre-planned spontaneity. In other words, we're not quite sure what is going to happen, but we have given people some kind of a guidance ahead of time as to what we want them to do.
There are a lot of ways that this can be done. In the bulletin the week ahead of that service, you can say, next week, for instance, we are going to praise God that he is a God of love. Please come prepared to bring the scriptures that you find pertinent to this point of worship, or the sermon will be on such and such and such and such. And we are inviting you to bring the scriptures that you have discovered that you think will fit with this service thrust.
And that's really more helpful to people, because it's frightening if you have to figure out right on the spot as to whether or not you want to say something. One of the most beautiful times like this, Karen, I recall, is saying to people, we're going to be bringing to God next week in the prayer promises that are found in his word. And we want to say to him, here's a promise, and this is why we feel it's appropriate for this congregation. And I want you people of the congregation to find those promises and bring them to him in the time of prayer that we have next week.
I think that would be an incredible affirmation of the lively work of the word in the lives of the individuals. Another example of pre-planning that maybe it would be good to insert at this time is often when a congregation is beginning to offer spontaneous reading or giving up of the scripture before the others in the congregation, there is that hesitancy, that fear, because we haven't done it before. And I think one way to pre-plan that is simply to sort of salt that experience. And you go to one or two or three people in the congregation and say, this Sunday morning we're going to be inviting the people of the congregation to give scriptures, and would you be prepared to start it? And they will just rise and in their place, or when there's a lag, and give those scriptures up. Now, this is not manipulation as much as it is a gentle consideration for the hesitancy on the part of the congregation and just helping them a little bit, hastening them along and making them feel comfortable.
The theme that we've been sharing all through these weeks is that scripture can come alive for people as greater attention is paid to the way it's read in public. And we're taking it from the verse in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, where Paul says to this younger man in ministry, until I come, give attention to the public reading of scripture, to preaching and teaching. And there's been so much attention given to teaching and preaching, but not too much in relationship to the public reading of Scripture. And we're trying to show how that has a wide variety of possibilities. And again, our topic today is the matter of spontaneity. Are there dangers in connection to spontaneity and its use as it relates to Scripture?
I think there are always dangers whenever we give up control of a service. What we are doing really is giving over control to the Holy Spirit at this moment. Sometimes you have people in a congregation who always feel that they must always talk on every occasion. And these people never have a time instinct. They can go on and on to everyone's embarrassment and discomfort.
So it means the person in charge has to be willing to interrupt graciously and take away from them the going on and on.
Or maybe to privately correct that individual lovingly and carefully, but that correction also needs to happen.
There's also a danger, Karen, in my mind, in being fearful of trying anything new, because people get tired of the same thing week after week after week. And surprise is a very good element and has tremendous punch to it on occasion. It seems to me we may have people who are listening who are saying, sounds like it's charismatic to me. How would you respond to that?
Well, I think the charismatics seem to do this better than those of us who are not in that rank. I don't know why we have to divide it up on that level. I think this is an invitation to the congregation to speak out the Scriptures that have meant something to them, and I'm not sure we need to put it in any kind of category.
But we do need to say that charismatics don't have a monopoly on spontaneity.
Mm-hmm.
Spontaneity can be a part of many different sections of God's church. Let's go over just process here. We're saying to congregations, don't do it every week. You know, this is a seasoning. Try it on occasion. Do things slowly. Give clear instructions, if at all possible. Tell people ahead of time what it is you want so they can prepare. Allow time for the individuals to respond. If you say, this is what we want, and then wait 5 seconds and no one says anything, you haven't waited long enough. You need to give it 10, 15 seconds, whatever, maybe a minute, and then someone will begin to. Be willing to not be perfect instantly. If it doesn't work exactly as you want, don't cast it aside. Just be willing to give it its time. Talk about a sense of corporateness, Karen.
Well, I think that's one of the great benefits of this experience. There are so few opportunities for the congregation to participate, and sitting in the midst of a congregation that is speaking the Word of God that has meant something to each of their hearts, hearing that familiar voice over there, trembling because of the deep meaning of the word they are speaking, and knowing the difficulties in that person's life, just is so affirming to me as the person who's in the middle of that congregation. But what it does, it gives us a sense of body, of community, and each one of us is impacting one another with the word that has been important to us, or that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is bringing to our minds right at that moment. So I think it does a marvelous thing as far as creating this feeling of community within a church congregation.
When this broadcast began, David, I was quite skeptical regarding spontaneity in the public reading of Scripture. But after listening to you and Karen unfold this topic, I am much more open to this unique opportunity to enhance a worship service.
You want to hear a confession, Dean?
Sure.
I was a little bit apprehensive myself. I couldn't remember what we had done on those programs. Those are a long, long time back. But after I listened to it, I felt much more comfortable, and I'm glad that you did as well.
Indeed. And it's a good example, again, of the critical nature of entwining the reading of Scripture, especially the public reading of Scripture in a worship service. It's so important that pastors who have spent lots of time developing a sermon also devote time to creating that carefully coordinated worship service. Public reading of Scripture plays a major role in that.
Well, as a pastor is very concerned that he does what is right by his text. The text is very important to him or her. Well, so the public reading of Scripture is very important as well to those people who are involved in other parts of the service. And that usually is working hand in hand with wherever the pastor is going.
It's very obvious that using some of these techniques that you and Karen have described would greatly enhance the sense of participation that the congregation has in the worship service.
Yeah, amen. And it does. There's no question.
We thank you for joining us for this time together. You found this SermonCoach.com podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We've made a great effort to have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And as we always do, we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.